last week. Can anybody remember what I spoke about last week? Because I can't. Anybody? Freedom, that's right. Well, it's something, there you go, it's freedom. We talked about two things, do you remember? Two Fs. Okay, you ready? Fear, thank you, and faith. Fear and faith. We're in this freedom series where the Apostle Paul in the Bible, in a book called Galatians, written to a bunch of people who were from Galatia, which is, I think, north of Hindley. I don't know. and we looked at this passage where he said, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. It's truth. It's for your freedom that he did what he did. So this is what he says. So make sure you stay free. See that? The switch of responsibility. I'm going to start this thing off, and now you've got to keep it going. And so we looked how fear binds us and controls us, how money is either a master, a mystery to us, or it is our ministry. It is how we enrich the world around us. And I don't know about you, but I think we had an incredible time of prayer and singing at the end of last gathering. What do you think? Phenomenal. Were people literally in tears? People with debt, people with issues coming forward, just saying, God, I'm going to do all I can, but I need you to do what only you can. I'm so excited to hear the stories over the next few weeks. We also looked at the fact that Jesus says, don't be anxious. Don't be worried, mate, because I am, believe it or not, I am who I say I am, and I'm going to look after you. So what we're going to do is today we're going to start a conversation in your household. So this is for you to think through in your own mind, with your family, with your partner, whoever it is. This is for you to have a conversation this week about greed and generosity. You know, just the little things. You know, just the little things each week, you know. So I just want you to remember that my name's Ben and I'm your friend. Just remember that, okay? I would say I'm quite a generous person because I remember once a friend of mine really loved breakfast, sort of as soon as he got up, lovely hot breakfast, full English. I remember, you know, waking up one early morning, getting in the kitchen, you know, doing the sausage and the bacon and all that. And I remember he just popped out of his bedroom and I gave him this breakfast in bed and he was so ungrateful. All he said was, how did you get into my house? I was thinking, you are so ungrateful, but this generosity means I get into some inappropriate situations sometimes. If you have your Bibles today, you can turn to the book of Matthew with me. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I encourage you, have your Bibles with you when you come to the gathering because this book is amazing. This book is so underrated. And we're going to read some stuff that actually Jesus said. So we've got to make sure that when we read it, we can make the most out of it and get the most out of it. So here we go. We're in Matthew chapter 6. Where are we? What do my notes tell me? Okay, verse 19, okay? So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. And it will be on screen for anyone new here or people who don't have a Bible. You can get one from the welcome team afterwards if you need one. Here we go. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your, what is that word? There your will be also. Isn't that so interesting? Don't lay up treasures on earth. This is what Jesus is not saying. Don't have any stuff. Okay, he's not saying that. He's not saying you can, if you value a car and you want a nice car, that's great. You can afford it. Brilliant. That's great. If you want a nice house, that's great. What he is doing, he is taking us to another level in our thinking and talking about heart. This is what it says in a different version called the Passion Translation. And it says this, verse 21, for your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. So your heart will follow that. The desire of it will, you'll always put your money where your heart is. Now, I don't know what you like. Some of you guys like football. Some of you guys out there like shoes and bags and stuff. I love watches, really, really good watches. Driving down the street one day, my kids in the car, and I was driving down, I saw this sign that said, watch for children. And I thought, that is a good deal. Have you seen that watch? That is great. I'm joking, of course. So today we're talking about heart. It's actually all about your heart. Whenever we talk about greed and generosity, it's actually about what's going on inside you, not just what's going on the outside. If you love property, you will give to property. If you desire fame, your Instagram is going to reflect that. If you desire popularity, if you desire clothes, if you whatever it is, your money will always follow your heart. It's the same about God. If your heart is for God, your money will follow. It was a really good friend of mine. I grew up with him. He's really great. I mentored him for a while. His name's Gandhi. I once taught him this incredible thing, and he gets credit for it. It says this, the earth is sufficient for man's need, but not man's greed. Isn't that true? Can't believe you ripped me off. What's going on, mate? MG, come on. So the earth is sufficient for man's need, but not our greed. And we can see that today with the environment and what's going on and how we're actually treating that at the minute. And our culture encourages greed. Have you ever heard of Bogov? Yeah, buy one, get one free. I said, you buy one, you get one free. But you do, though. I'm telling you. Have you seen them like Pepsi things on the stand where they say, you can have one for £1.90 or you can get two for £2? You think to yourself, one for 10p, that's good. But our culture sets us up to want more, to need more. And this essence of greed is the opposite of our upside-down kingdom. It's the opposite of the life we're meant to live. I don't know about you, but I think generosity can change the world. I think generosity can change your friend's world. So when you're at home, when you're at work, wherever you are, a simple act of generosity could change everything for them. Imagine if we all did that every day. I went into town the other day and I went to the Pound Bakery. Because that's about my standard, really. I wanted my five a day, pasties and pies. So, and you go in and it's like 70p for one pasty or you get two for a pound, hence Pound Bakery. You know, and so, and as I got two, and I got just, it's really not right. Listen, it's really annoying when you have to do these talks, right? Because you have to live what you say, okay? So I thought to myself, I've got two pasties here. I don't know if you can tell, it's what I do. And so I had these two pasties, and I thought, two is greedy. And I thought to myself, I'm just gonna find someone. I thought, God, I just want you to prompt, you know, me to give this other one to, you know, this. And so I just made sure I walked, like, and not looking at anyone, thinking if I don't seem technically, it's his fault. You know, it's not my fault, you know. So anyway, I was walking down past Walgate Station just up there, and this guy in a wheelchair, and he looked like an ex-veteran with one arm, no legs, in a, what they call it, like an electric, you know, wheelchair. You know, the ones that are incredibly unsafe. You're doing like 30, you know. So I saw him and I gave him a smile. And I said, here, mate, I went to the Pound Bakery. I just thought it's really greedy if I have two. So I thought, I was praying and I thought, I'll just give this to someone. So I've just seen you, so I want to give it to you. And he looked at me and he said, thank you. He said, thank you so much for me. And I went, this is what I said. It's just a pasty, mate. It's just a pasty, you know. And he said, thanks so much. And he sped off and I said, don't eat and drive. That act of generosity meant more to him than my greed did to me. You often hear greedy people say, if only I had more money. If only I had more money, then I could do what they do. I could go to Zante for 8 weeks in a year and put my feet up and call Julio. Julio, bananas, please. You know, if only I had more money. If only I had more. But this is the problem with greed. It's that enough is never enough. Why? It's because greed is a heart issue. Because even when you get it, you're on to the next thing. Enough is never enough. I want to read to you an excerpt. I'm going to read a couple of excerpts from the Blessed Life book. Make sure you read this. So Dave really promoted it well before. It's an excellent book, so I'm going to read you some stuff through it. So here we go. This is what Robert Morris, my friend Bobby, mentored him for many years, taking a lot of the credit for my teaching. So these are all jokes, by the way. Take some things I say seriously, but most things with a pinch of salt. He says this. You need to know this about seeds, not seeds, farmer's seeds. You reap after you sow. Once again, I know that seems mind-numbingly simple, but you cannot believe how many people say things like, someday, when I have more money, I'm going to be a giver. It'll never happen. You can't reap before you sow. Once again, this is a principle that God has woven into the natural order of things. Imagine a foolish farmer now standing in the field waiting for a crop to come in when he has never planted a seed. Once this crop comes up, I'm going to do some serious sowing, he says confidently. I'll be a big-time sower if I ever get this crop to come in. Of course, this is absurd. Yet I have heard many believers say pretty much the same thing. Like, if God, you help me close this major business deal, I'm really going to start giving to the church. It is the one who is faithful with little who will receive much. You have to start where you are. You cannot reap if you don't first sow. Well, my husband, he never compliments me. Or my wife, she's always asking me to do dishes, because that's how everyone in Wigan sounds like. She's here and here. I am from Wigan, by the way, so don't stone me. Don't you think you should first pay her some compliments or do something to her before you expect something in return? Don't you think you should sow a seed in your relationship? Are you asking for a harvest before you yourself have first sown a seed? Okay, enough is never enough. It's never good enough. I never have enough time, food, money, affirmation. But Jesus says in Matthew 6 that greed is about the heart. And your heart is exactly where your money is. Okay, I'm going to show you a clip of Robert now. I'm going to show you three clips today, short ones. And again, I just want to say, he is American. Don't judge him. He might get to heaven, I'm not sure. But there's a few Americanisms in there, and it's very churchy. So if you're new here today or you're new to faith, he may say some things that are a bit like, what's that about? Not sure what that language is. You can come and grab me and we'll talk about it afterwards. It's fine, but you will follow the gist. Okay, so here's Robert explaining one of these principles. Thank you.
I was being interviewed by a magazine a while back, and they said, how often do you preach on giving? And I said, every week. They said, you preach on giving every week? And I said, yes. I think what you meant to ask me was, how often do I preach on giving money? And that's about every 3 years. Every 3 years, I do a series on stewardship and generosity. But you didn't ask me how often to preach on giving money. You asked me how often to preach on giving. I can't preach on grace and not talk about giving, because God so loved the world, He gave. I can't preach on marriage and not preach on giving, because a marriage will not work if you're not givers, if both people aren't givers. And again, not finances, now giving. You understand what I'm saying? This applies to every area of our life. That's what we have to understand. Giving is about the heart. Here's the title of the message. I should have given it to you earlier, but the title is, it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Some people say, well, you know, they're after my money. Let me explain something to you. Yes, God is after your, not the church. God is after your money, because He's after your heart. And your heart is connected to your wallet. I guarantee you, I've seen it. There's a string from your heart to your wallet. Because I've watched people, when they start to reach back, oh, and it just, it hurts. If God can get your wallet, listen to me, He can get your heart. And I'm not the one that said it. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart follows your treasure. You put your treasure in a stock, you put some money in a stock, you'll start going on the internet checking to see how that stock's doing, and you never checked it before. And you never cared about it before, but you care about it now because your treasure's there. Are you following me? You want your treasure in the kingdom? You want your heart in the kingdom? You put your treasure in the kingdom.
Excellent. So, we need to talk about giving because this is not just about money. How many know that in a relationship, if all you do is take from one another, that's going to end pretty bad? But any fruitful, promising relationship is always filled with gifts to one another, whether that's time or whether that's whatever. So I want to talk about just how, very simply, how do we move from greed to generosity? It's very simple, okay? Ready? It's going to change your life forever. Ready? You woke up this morning and thought, what's going to happen today? You know, this is about to go down, okay? You ready? Gratitude. Gratitude. A grateful attitude. Gratitude moves. It's the antidote to greed. Being grateful for what you have, and that moves us from a place of greed to generosity. But so how does that work? Okay, let me just tell you what greed, three things that greed does, okay? Three things, very simply. Number one, greed creates pride. Number two, and I'm going to go into these, greed steals joy. And number three, greed causes grief. There's a great verse in the Bible from Psalm 24, which is a poetry book. It's a song book. And it says this, and it's a song about to God. It says this: the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Just to clarify, the world and all who live in it. So what's God's? Everything. Everything is God. Not just the world, but everyone in it. So, if I have some money and everything's God's, whose is that money? It's God's. Last week we talked about how we serve God, and that on our pound coins you'll notice this little Latin that says, by the grace of God. And that every pound that we have is actually we hold because of the grace of God. You know? And it's, hang on. Oh, I've forgotten something. I said I'd take the kids to McDonald's afterwards. Well, Eden, because she had good behavior, and I was going to get her a Happy Meal. And I just, what's this? It's a Christmas miracle. Thank you. £2. Atalia, come on, give it up for Atalia. She's giving me £2. Okay, now it's completely staged. We know that. We had a chat before, didn't we? So come over here, Atalia. So you gave me these £2, which I'm actually going to keep. Mm-hmm. Is that all right?
Yeah. That's
okay, right. Great. Okay. I'll bless someone with a coffee or whatever. How did you feel about giving me those £2?
Okay about it because it's not my money. Someone blessed me today, and that's just God blessing me through other people, and I'm blessing you through Jesus.
That is true. All right, don't clap her too much. I'm doing all the hard work here. I'm joking, of course. Atalia's a wonderful person. And we were chatting before, and having been gifted some money, I asked her, would she give me, sort of when I called on it, a couple of pounds? And that's okay, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because it wasn't your money to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone put it in your hand, and you simply gave whatever it was, 10%. Great, thanks.
I don't know what to say.
No, that's fine. I don't know what to say. You've said enough. You're fantastic. Atalia's okay with giving me £2 because someone blessed her with some money. And so it wasn't hers to begin with. So it's fine because she can hand that on because it wasn't hers in the first place. When me and Han have done generous gifts to people, often anonymously, we'll slip that money through the little letterbox, and we won't sit there and wonder what we could have done with it. We're very happy to bless because it was never ours in the first place. I was eating chips one day, most days, eating chips one day with my daughter, and My wife had just made the chips, and so we sat down, and I was thinking, oh, those chips look good. It was date night, and so me and Han eat later in the evening, date night once a week. And so we were eating. I thought, that chips look good. Oh. I said, Eden, can I borrow one of your chips? And she was like, no, Daddy. So I said to her, no, sweetheart, can I just have one chip? You've got like 20 chips, like, come on. Freshly, Han had made them, they're beautiful. She said, no. And I thought, you little, no, I didn't really. I said, oh, I just love you so much right now. And in my head, I didn't say it out loud. I said, don't you know that I could take all those chips away if I wanted to? No, seriously, I could just go and just take them away. But with the same measure, I could double it. With the same measure, I mean, social services data right fit with me, but I could get loads of chips. Say, go on, knock yourself out. I bought those chips. Me and Han bought those chips. And sometimes I think God wants us to grow up a little bit. Because God can take it away, or he could double it. Because it's God's. And we thank God that everything in the earth is his. Because without him, we're up the creek. He cares about you. He loves you. The things that you care about, he cares about. The things that you value, he does. I am telling you, it is a blessing from God. And when we stand there and we get prideful and say, no, God, it's mine. God is like, the ground you're stood on is my property. This is a gift to you. Okay, second thing, greed steals joy. It's not God's money, it's mine. It's not Terry's, if you remember that Terry's chocolate orange advert. It's not Terry's, it's mine. Have you ever seen two kids playing together? And the only toy they want is what the other child has got. Have you seen that? And you're just like, you've got loads of toys. I remember here's an analogy for you. My beautiful, wonderful child. This was a few years ago. I remember just watching American football on TV after a long, strenuous day. And I remember just watching it. And so Eden runs in. She goes, hi, Daddy. She grabs the remote control, starts trying to figure the TV. And I'm like, sweetheart, no, don't turn it over. I'm watching my game. And I said, I don't want to watch Dougie. I don't want to watch flipping pandas in tutus singing Baby Shark. I don't want to watch it anymore. I'm tired. I want to watch my program. And I said, sweetheart, it's been a long day. I said, listen, it's my TV. I've paid for it. We record things from you, from CBeebies, and we make sure we look after you. And I'm just asking, for once, okay? For once, can I just watch my program? And then she opens those, like, big, beautiful, beautiful blue eyes, and she leans in and she says, Daddy. And I'm like, oh, yes, sweetheart. And she said, it's mine. Is it yours, is it? So I said, listen, no, it's not yours. It's my TV. I'm watching American football. I took it off her and she shouted, Mom! And I stood up and shouted, Mom! And then we both ran upstairs and Hannah parented us both through the situation. And the truth is this, is that any of us, Eden and me, we will never be happy or joyful if we aren't content with what we already have. Finish the sentence. Comparison is the thief of joy. When we often compare our lives, it doesn't do us any favors. It actually robs us of our joy because we look at other people and say, oh God, look how you're blessing them. What's going on with them? They've got all this, they've got that. And God's like, look what you have. Look what you have and you will find joy and contentment. It is not about greed. Next week, it's the final message, and then we've got a great panel discussion the week after that. So I'm going to shut up after next week. But next week, I want to answer the question, why does God need my money? Okay? That's the question I'm going to answer next week. Why does God need my money? So greed steals joy, contentment. Greed also causes grief. Have you ever committed to something and then absolutely regretted it a few months later? Said to my brother once, sure, I'll run the Wigan half marathon. Yeah, sure, why not? When is it? 8 years? Yeah, that's fine, I'll do it. And then a few months down the road, it's like, oh, it's next month. Have you been training? We're like, oh, just a lot of chip, There's a lot of chip eating, a lot of pie action going on, you know, carbs. Have you ever done that? Have you ever committed to something and regretted it down the line? I know I have. We call this the grief in giving, where you give something and you grieve about it. And let me I'll just read this because he says it better than me anyway. I have mentored him over years, but I'll let him take the credit. Here we go. Robert says this, and this is in, he's talking about, which I'm going to read in just a minute, a book in the Bible called 2 Corinthians chapter 9, okay? 2 Corinthians. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking again. Basically, Paul is commending the church in Corinth for their willingness to give. And he takes the opportunity to teach them some truths about giving. Paul writes, so this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one, as he purposes in his heart," that's really important, "as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." Keep in mind that these words were directed at a group of people who were about to make a sacrificial offering. They were givers. Paul's very next phrase is an important one in this verse. "Each person should give," ready, this is what Paul says, "as he purposes in his heart." Why? Because we know this is a heart issue. You are the only person on earth who can decide what the right level of giving is for you. It's between you and the Spirit of God. Look at the same verse in a different translation. "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." God is not looking for tithes, offerings, and gifts that are given reluctantly or under compulsion. The blessed life is an outgrowth of cheerful giving. How do you become a cheerful giver? There's only one way. God must do a work in your heart. God must do a work in your heart. Greed causes grief because when you give something away, it is therefore being taken by someone, received by someone. And a person with a generous spirit loves a transaction forwards, not just backwards. They find more joy in giving forwards to someone and them receiving it than the other way around. And we know that greed is the opposite. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, "You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all you do, in all to which you put your hand." Generous people are free from grief because they just love to give. They're happy to give. They're joyful in the giving. What's your experience like when you give? Because we know what grief does. Greed. Greed creates pride, steals joy, and it causes grief. So I want to talk to you about something, then we'll land the plane, okay? The generosity plane. I want to talk to you today about the test of gratefulness. The test of gratefulness. How do we move from greed to generosity? Now, if you're in here and you aren't a follower of Jesus, you get away with this one, believe it or not. Everything else I've said applies to you, but right now, if you're a believer in here, if you follow Jesus, this is a challenge to you. Don't forget, my name's Ben. I'm your friend. So this is something that you need to consider in your homes this week as you have a conversation with yourself or your family. But what I want to do is we're going to look at a little passage of scripture in a book called Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to talk about this thing called tithing. So if you're not a believer in here, that's cool. You can kind of watch and see what I'm trying to do here. But if you are a believer, I want to talk to you about tithing. There's no greater confronting subject than money to a believer. So I hope you give me some grace and you open your heart to this. So Malachi chapter 3. I'm actually going to let Robert sort of open this up because, again, he says it better than I do. So we're going to watch a clip in a minute about tithing. Tithing is where we give, as believers, 10% of our income to God. And how we do that is through the church, which is the storehouse, which you'll see in this passage of Scripture. So here we go. Roll the clip. Here's what Bobby says. Thanks.
I got this title from something that I used to say a lot when I was in school. The title of this message is, What Test? Any of you relate to this? Did you ever have that experience? You walk into class, and everyone's got their books out, and they're studying, and they say, Are you ready for the test? And you say, What test? Yeah, I didn't do well in school. But I am proud of myself because I graduated in the top 10% of the lower one-third of my graduating class. So I'm proud of myself for doing that. But the reason I named it What Test is because many believers don't know that there's a test in the Bible, and you actually take this test every time you get paid. So let's take a little survey here. All the campuses and all the churches that are joining us, how many of you get paid once a month? Can I see your hand? Put your hand up. How many of you get paid either every other week or twice a month? Can I see your hand? So that's most of us. How many of you get paid every week? Can I see your hand? How many of you never get paid? I'm sorry. Okay. But if you ever get paid, you'll take a test. The test is, whom are you going to thank for your income? And you take that test by what you do with the first 10% of your income. Whom are you going to thank? Whom are you going to worship for your income? You know, some people thank Visa. It's the first one they pay. The only problem is that Visa does not have the power to bless your finances. Amen. But God does. So turn to two passages, please. Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, and then 2 Chronicles 31. We'll go over there in a moment. And we're going to go through a lot of scripture in this message. And I want to show you that tithing is scriptural, and it is in God's Word. So Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, this is where we'll start. Malachi 3, 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. That's very important. I don't change. I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Now, I think that's humorous. He says, I don't change. That's why I haven't killed you yet, personally. That's what I think he's saying there. I was nice, and I'm still nice, all right? Verse 7, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. Now, we're going to come back to that word ordinance. What does it mean? And have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Now, before we read verse 8, let me just remind you, this is God talking. This is God, the God who does not change. This is the God who does not change talking. He said, you go away from my ordinances. I just need to probably tell you, the word ordinance means a principle of ordinary behavior. You've gone away from my principles of ordinary behavior for God's children. And they say, well, in what way? Now, I want you to notice this, because this next verse, a preacher didn't make this up. Okay, this is God speaking. Verse 8, will a man rob God or steal from God? Yet you have robbed me. You've stolen from me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? Now, watch again. This is God talking. In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that would be the church, that there may be food in my house. Again, that's the church. And try, the old King James uses the word prove, the English Standard Version uses the word test. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. I just want you to notice how many times he put says the Lord of hosts, so we remember who's talking here. The one who can't change is talking. Test me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. This is God talking, and this is the God who can't change. You have to remember that. And he says, you've gone away from my ordinances. You've gone away from my ordinary principles of behavior. Tithing is an ordinary principle of behavior for God's children to thank God for their income, for their harvest, for their increase. That's an ordinary principle.
You can breathe in and out now. That's fine. You go, whew, that was challenging. Everyone breathe in and breathe out. Now, that may have been challenging for you, but I just want to comment on a few things that we stand under grace. We don't stand under law, okay? So we stand under the freedom of Christ, for freedom that Christ set us free. So when you read things in there like, oh, you know, you've robbed God, he's put a curse on you. Let me just qualify what that means. And again, if you're a follower of Jesus, Italia, just pass me that umbrella. If you're in here and you're superstitious, I would leave the room. For me, this is what this means. In fact, Andy, will you jump up and just be God for me? You could just jump up here if you can. No, you can't. Okay, go on. Try out. Okay, now Andy's going to be God, okay? Thanks, Andy. So we live in a world that is pretty broken at times. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world. Not just wars that we talked about before, but all sorts of stuff. Sickness, pain. This is the world we live in. When we come under proximity with God, like this, that dimension changes. Your experience of life changes. So here's the deal, right? If I don't stand under an umbrella in Wigan, I'm going to get wet. Okay, it's going to happen 90% of the time. But that's just a fact of life. This is just what that scripture is saying is, listen, if you don't come into proximity with God, this is the reality you're just going to have. It's just we live in this cursed world. We live in this, how I would term, broken world. And broken things are going to happen. But guess what? When we come into proximity with God, when we have ordinary practices where we align ourselves with God, I'm not going to get wet anymore. Why? Because there is a protection over my life that is a different dimension. This is grace. Why is this grace? Because I don't need to pay a fee. I don't need to sacrifice animals. The Son, Jesus, allows me to connect with my Father. And so my Father stretches out his arm. The other arm. That one. Stretches out his arm and he welcomes me into this relationship. And I can stand under this protection, free from wind and hail and snow. That is what this is talking about. God is not sort of stood up in heaven looking at people and say, right, Clive Clifton of 13 Clifton Avenue, Cliffington, he says he believes in me and he doesn't tithe. Right, I'm going zap. Oh, Deirdre, I've grown a third arm on my back. What's happening? Oh, Deirdre, you've turned into a llama. You know, it's not. God isn't out there going zap, 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 zap. They're just experiencing a different reality because this practice brings us into alignment with God where we can have relationship. And it says in it, I will pour out blessings on you. Why? Not because you're his favorite, but because you've got favor. It's because you're here. And he's like, guess what? Because you're here, I'm going to hear everything that you say. You're in proximity with me. So guess what? Wherever you go, I'm going to walk. Wherever you go, I'm going to go as well. Wherever I walk, this protection is going to carry you. It's going to hold you. It's going to be above you. And do you know what? Even when it starts to rain, you can let go. All right, God. Even when it starts to rain, I'm always just a step away. Yeah? Okay, great. Thank you, Andy. Brilliant, God. Excellent. And do you know what? The best thing is, I don't give my... So me and my wife and our family, we tithe. I don't stand here and... I'm not judging. We do this on every bit of income that we get, okay? And I know this is quite challenging for people, I know. but I practice it myself, so I'm not here being, you know, double standards. And I don't give that, and I don't walk in that. I don't do it because I want God's protection. I do it because I'm grateful. I do it because of what God's done for me. And check this out. Me and my wife, we do that, and we've never gone without. In fact, we've experienced more because we've come into alignment with God. Okie doke. It's a test of gratefulness. Your money is a test. And I encourage you this week, have a conversation about tithing. We know that it's biblical. It's a principle of ordinary behavior. But I want you to have a chat in your home this week. And if you do tithe already, make it a standing order. Remove the temptation. It's what me and Han do. Just go straight out. Don't need to think about it. Bing, bang, bosh, done. But have a conversation in your house about that. And I'm going to leave it there about tithing. And I'm going to let Steve Matthew pick it up in the pop-up group that he's leading called Kingdom Finance, where he's going to go into that. If you want to know more about tithing, maybe more about the practicalities, you can go to that starting this Thursday. Okay, right, I'm nearly done. Band, would you like to come up? I thought I'd do that really inconspicuously, just so it was really, really good. Okay, so I'm nearly done. But one last point, okay? One last point. God is not greedy. Okay, ready? God is generous. God is generous. Even the stuff he challenges us to do, he does it himself. And I'm so glad he's generous. Why do we still do Remembrance Sunday 100 years on from the end of World War I, the Great War? Why do we still do that? Or as Eden calls it, Poppy Day. Why do we still honor Poppy Day? Why? Because we remember, obviously, what happened. But I think it's this. It's to keep us grateful for our freedom. It's to make sure that we never forget what it costs for you and me to have freedom of speech, freedom from fear, freedom from poverty. And it's because as my grandma was telling me yesterday, my great-great-granddad who fought in that war and survived and came home, he did that for me. So why do we do Remembrance Sunday? It's because it keeps us grateful. The problem is this. I've been married for 8 years, I think, this year. And the more and more the years go on, the more and more I start to not notice the things that Hannah does for me. Okay, so I was so grateful the first time Hannah would make some food for me before the kids came along. So grateful. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Now, the danger is she does that consistently every day without fail, mainly because I'll poison the kids. That's one thing. But yeah, I could get to that dinner table after doing thousands of meal times and just think, is that it? That's a small portion, because my one-year-old just eats everything, even the table. And I could just sit there and say, is that it? Where's the seconds? But yet, every time I sit at that table, I'm reminded that this girl loves me and I'm grateful for what she's done. So I wipe the table, put the dishes in the dishwasher. The same is with God. And again, if you're a believer in here, this is to you. The longer you're in relationship with him, sometimes the blessings he pours out on you become expected, and we become ungrateful for the special things that he pours out on us. I think what God wants us to do is bring us back from a place of greed into a place of generosity through gratefulness. Here's the truth. Generosity is a spirit. We know that. We know it's generous in everything. Time, talent, treasure, in everything, just generous. But the truth is often we only give when we feel like it. That is the truth. That's why when you watch adverts and they show you pictures and they try and get you to give to stuff, they show you a reality so that you feel something. Even to buy a product, they'll try and make you feel something because they know if you feel it, you'll probably do it. But a true, generous spirit gives even when it doesn't feel like it. And it doesn't matter if it hurts or it sacrifices, if you're reaching for that wall and you're like, oh, God, oh my heart. Because it'll just give. Because it's necessary. And here is how good God is. We know. I'm sorry. In fact, you can stand to your feet because I'm literally done now. I want to tell you this last thing. Then I want to leave it there. We know, if you've been around for a long time, that God is a good God and is a generous God. Now, here's the reality. The things that we do separate us from God. The things that we do, some people call it sin, some people call it brokenness, some people call it stupid decisions, some people just call it just being human and what comes naturally to us. And all these things keep us away from God, because God is just the opposite to that. That he is so holy that all the things that we could do would never warrant being able to get into heaven. And not even getting to heaven when we die, but experience heaven on earth here right now. So what God the Father does, he sends his Son. Anybody know this story? Anybody know this story? And he sends his Son to die for us. And that act of love is a payment for our sins and our brokenness. And that's acceptable to the Father. And he says, do you know what? I love these kids, these guys on earth, but I am going to provide the answer for them, because they can't provide an answer for themselves. Pause. In a minute, we're going to sing an incredible chorus of a song called What a Beautiful Name It Is, the name of Jesus. So this is where I'm going to land it. I want us to have just a couple of minutes, and I'll disappear, of just being grateful, of just reflecting on what's been said and just singing just the name of Jesus. And even if you're not a Christian in here, you can do that too. You can enter into that relationship. Now, this is, let's pick the story back up. This is incredible. Jesus not only dies, but then 3 days later, he rises again. It's the most documented event in Roman history, okay? No one knows more about this story than anybody else, other than the Romans and other the disciples that were there, all eyewitness testimonies. He rises again and allows us to walk free, so that we not only get to heaven because of what Jesus did, but we can bring heaven to earth, because we can now overcome depression. We can now overcome fear, insecurity. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead, and he's overcome that, and everything else is pennies. This is the incredible thing about, this is what I realized the other day, you know, you have a head slap moment. This is what I realized, is that God has a generous spirit, because he gave his Son for you and me, and he wanted to do it. He wanted to do it. You try and take my Son off me. Oh, you just try it. You're not having him. But yet this incredible Heavenly Father decides that you and I are worth his Son. We're all worth his Son. And so he sent his Son down, and he lived a spotless life. I wonder if the band won't mind just start singing What a Beautiful Name It Is, just in the background. And I want you to think about this name. And I want you to understand the generosity of God. So, Jesus is beaten. That's it. You guys can start singing. Come on. The most incredible thing is this, is that they beat him, okay? He's bruised, he's bloodied, and then they nail him to a cross. They put nails into his hands, and he is up on that tree, and he is crying his eyes out, and he's thinking of you and I while all this is going on. I'm not trying to guilt trip you, and it's okay if you don't believe this, but I got to tell you, I can't leave without telling you something. That when Jesus was hung on that cross, when he was pouring out his life for us, do you know what he said? He said this, Lord, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them, because these guys that are punishing me don't understand. But it's okay. It's okay. Because it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about my greed or my own destiny. But it's about the love of God being poured out over this earth. Come on, band. Won't you lift it with me? Won't you lift it with me? Begin to just worship. Begin to just worship. Begin to just worship. you're in here, what I want you to do, as the guys are singing, "What a Beautiful Name," I want you to think in your mind, what am I grateful for? What am I grateful for? What am I grateful for?
What a beautiful name.
What am I grateful for? What am I grateful for? What am I grateful
for? What a beautiful name it is.
Come on. Come on. Let's have a minute together. A minute of gratefulness. Come on.